Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains, we offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to Shelf Respect, the book podcast focused on both craft and chaos of fiction. I'm Alex McCoy. Joining me as always from the center of climate change and the newest El Nino is Jamie Golden and Aaron Moon.
Gosh, why are you having the worst El Nino in 200 years?
Doesn't feel really like the right time.
Listen, no, I've already got preppers in my TikTok feed. I'm like, no, not interested. Block El Nino, hashtag. Like, I can't.
Do you have like a canoe with that old house? Is there a boat in that old house?
No, listen, immediately I was like, I was like, how much is a full house generator? And it was like $25,000. I was like,
that's a lot.
Oh, Jamie was like, well, I am going to think about it.
So guys, if you're listening, become a hardback so I can get a full house generator by winter.
Project Keep Jamie's Old House with Power. Come on, please. Okay, in this episode, we will be snake drafting books we think will be the best reads of Q3. That is July, August, and September.
Okay, but before we do that, we're actually currently on a summer break. We lovingly call the sweaty taint. Now, this would be a great time. Listen, if you're listening and you're not a hardback on Patreon, just hear me out. This is a great time to catch up on all our exclusive episodes over on Patreon. Because listen, there are some books we're not going to talk about because Aaron's already read them. And we learned about that last week in Shelf Reflections. Mm-hmm. And you could hear all of our Shelf Reflections. Knox read Whistler. What did he think? Aaron read a book called Earth 7. What did she think?
Earth 7 colon a novel. Please respect the book,
Jamie. I'm sorry, my bad. Best books. I know it's going to be one of my best books of the century.
She said century. It's 2026. She said century.
It was so good, you guys. So if you head to patreon.com/shelfrespect or go to the link in the show notes, you can either try us for no dollars for 7 days, okay? But if you want 30 whole days, you can use code SWEATYTAINT. Yes, you will have to type it. SWEATYTAINT. Okay. And you can become a hardback for just 70 cents. Okay. But it's going to feel adventurous when you type taint. I promise. This will get you access to everything and add you to the almost 4,000 hardbacks who discuss reading and all things book in our not so secret exclusive club. So again, head to patreon.com/shelfrespect.
I read in 1926, The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway came out and Winnie the Pooh was published. Huh. And I was just wondering, like, do you think anyone read that in 1926 and was like, best book of the century? Clearly.
Are you suggesting that the book that won the Hugo Award is comparable to Winnie the Pooh?
Look at here. See, it's a bear without pants. Blows your mind.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
So we're going to be snake drafting upcoming books. And, I was like, different strategy. Because I do this and I never think about what I drafted again. I want to draft and then intentionally read and or I want to take from both of you. And that's okay. So I've because like when I did my big list, like my big board, it was like 20 literary fiction. And I was like, I got to thin that out. They're not going to go for that. So I got to get down. I got to play on their turf. So that's what I'm going for. And I got a little spooked because was it you or you, Aaron or Jamie? Like somebody said, we're going to be coming for each other. Like we're going to be like crossing.
Jamie said that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
We're going to be coming.
So I don't know.
Because I think this is, I'll be honest with you, July, August and September, it's got some good books some good coming books. Out. And some from authors that I really love. And so, and this might maybe particular book looks pretty fascinating. But also, there's some tentpoles. Real tentpoles coming out, like I think of the literary world. And part of that is just like with movies, books that come out in September and October are considered the like Oscar quote nominee books, like the books that are the biggest deal. It's when publishers make back a ton of money because this is so if an author has a book come out in that time of year, it's like we expect you to do well.
Yeah.
Also, if your book comes out in January, I'm not saying that's a reflection on what the publisher thought of that, but it is a little.
What about February? What about February 2nd? Oh,
February.
February, that's actually the sickest part.
February and June, iconic. Okay, if your book can come out on Black Square Day in 2020.
Yeah.
Goats only here, February. That's what they say. Just reporting the news, Aaron. Okay, we got to draw for spots.
This is really important to me.
Okay, Aaron, since it's important to you, I want you to go first.
Okay.
And we are picking between corny, cringy white rappers.
Okay.
I'm sure both of you got the Google alert that Jelly Roll and his wife have called it quits.
Somebody said when they read that divorce decree, it's going to sound, when they have to separate their assets, it's just going to sound like toys you can get in a McDonald's Happy Meal. That's how pathetic it'll be.
That's true. So we don't know what happened, but we do know what happened. Aaron, you're going to be picking between Jelly Roll, Vanilla Ice, and Macklemore.
Okay. I think I'm going to choose Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
You've chosen Vanilla
the one
Ice.
Guy that hung on to the Great American Fair when everybody else backed out.
That's right.
He did. Okay. He was like, I'll double down. Unfortunately, that has gotten you the third overall pick here.
Yes!
Man.
God, Jamie's taking my first one. I know she is.
Who knew Vanilla Ice would
I'm actually,
like
I think
that.
I'm coming for Knox. I'm coming for Knox first. I'm going to come for Knox first. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Aaron already took two of mine in the previous episode, so I feel like attacked on both fronts.
You can still do them.
I don't want to do them now. They're used up. They're disgusting now, Aaron.
Yeah, they're brutal.
Jamie, Macklemore or Jelly Roll? That's a pickle.
I'm going to choose Macklemore because he is probably the most politically active in the way that I prefer. And so, yes, I'm going to choose
and
Macklemore.
And like you, a ginger. So that's interesting. Macklemore has gotten you the second overall pick.
Oh, no. That's nerve-wracking. Okay.
Which means I have Jelly Roll and the first overall pick. So now the question becomes...
Who do I hurt?
Why did Aaron want the first pick? And why did Jamie want a better pick than
my
me?
My concern is that Aaron wanted the first book, but Aaron, can you give me a clue? Was the first book a book you've already read?
Yes.
Okay, so then I know what her first pick was. And it wasn't actually even on my list because I've already talked about it here on the show.
Oh, see, now's time to pivot, Aaron. Now's the time to pivot and be like,
no,
guess what?
I can't know. I got to make sure the people know.
Yeah, then we do need to make sure that people know.
I don't care about that. This is about winning.
It's about me.
The draft.
And about winning.
Listen, and here's the
causing
thing. The book,
sadness.
The book that I want that Knox is going to pick. God, I freaking love that cover.
Say it.
I'm hardcore into it. I'm ready to go.
Say it. What is it?
No, I'm not going to say it.
No, you got to go
you
first.
You have to go first.
But if you're so sure I'm going to love it, then I'm probably going to love
it.
Let's
see.
Right?
Let's see what you pick.
Okay, first pick of the Q3 fiction book draft. I am taking. I'm trying not to. I want this. I want this book.
Pick
it was on my
want.
List.
Yeah, just pick
it was
thing.
On my
you don't
big
have
board.
To hurt me. You don't have to hurt me.
It is. You know, I like a cool cover. I like a minimalist cover. I like Dog. This is Etna by Paul Yoon. So I'm going Paul Yoon.
His
Etna.
Go find out what that's about.
I haven't heard of that one.
This is basically it's the Odyssey, but dogs, and I like that.
Okay.
So it's
that is a cool
narrated.
Cover.
By a dog, an ex-military dog.
Okay, and for those
you know?
Reasons.
So, here's the thing. If you watched Heart of the Beast with Brad Pitt, and you're like, you know what would make this movie better? No Brad Pitt. Well, I got the book for you.
Yeah.
I got the book for you. So he, after like a war situation, he slips away from his unit to get home. So it's not Milo and Otis. It's a Homeward Bound.
That's what I was thinking when I was
Homeward Bound, but tactical and like alpha, aggressive, you know?
Okay.
So Homeward Bound, but with protein. And it's just the Odyssey told from the dog's consciousness. So it's extreme literary fiction. And it's like in my playbook of loving dog stories. So Edna by Paul Yoon. It's 4.39 stars on Goodreads.
No, it looks great. And the comedy of it all is like when it says similar books, it's all books you've talked about on this show.
Is that That's right?
Funny. I'm not kidding. It's like A Good Person by Kirsten King. Transcription by Ben Lerner. Whistler by Ann Patchett. Like,
let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, great about this. All right. Wonderful. So, Jamie, it's your pick now.
Okay. So, I am going to pick the one that I thought you would pick, but it is pretty obvious because it's a tentpole book because it's an author I really, really love, and that is Exit Party by Emily St. John Mandel.
Not even on my list.
Not even on your list. All right. So, this is, she wrote Station 11 and Sea of Tranquility. Station 11 is one of my favorite books of all time. It's also one of my favorite adaptations of all time.
Favorite book of the century? Is it on your list?
No, for sure. It would be, we did a list for our hardbacks that they can access of our favorite books of the 21st century so far. So the first 25 years, this will be 26th year, right? Mm. But it was on, it was both on my list and Knox's list. Mm-hmm. And Aaron put a book that had a butt on it. And, no, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
But so this is set in, and Aaron talked about recently that she does not, she's like, I don't like a little bit in the future. I don't like that. I don't.
Yeah. Just when it's bad.
And this maybe won't be bad. This is a side, and this is.
I agree with Aaron. I don't like bad future.
No, I don't like bad future. Well, I like reading about bad future. Don't want to be in bad future. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is set in LA in 2031. It is the first spring after the collapse of the United States.
The cherry blossoms are in bloom. The
dogwoods are blooming.
The sun is shining.
I know. But let me tell you, you know who does speculative fiction dystopia really well? Emily St. John Mandel. And yeah. And so this is, it's like now because it's after the collapse, now it's like the peacekeeping troops are now withdrawing. And now Ari and her roommate get to like leave their apartment and they're going to Silver Lake in LA, which is great. Silver Lake is a lyric in an Olivia Rodrigo song, and it's a really fun place. But then there is a mystery of what's happening in this night because there's a twin, a doppelganger, stumbles through the crowd, and
love
then the party's host vanishes in front of them, like into thin air. It's like, what's going on? And so Exit Party indeed. So I'm excited about this because I really love her. I always have faith in, because even though Sea of Tranquility was not at the level for me of Station 11 in my affection, I really did like it.
I did like it a lot, yeah.
And so for me, I just don't think she can miss. I hope this is not the case. It has early reviews. It comes out in September, but early reviews are high. But I do think that's all the Emily St. John Mandalorians.
There it is.
We found it. So that's my spot. Okay, that's mine.
That's a good pick. It is not on my list.
Okay.
And it's because I had so many books on my list, I stopped in early September because I was like, no more.
You didn't get to it. Mm. But you would have picked it. You would have thought of it.
This is a better second pick than the first pick. I gotta be honest about that. So you did a better job.
Fair enough.
Okay, Aaron, for you two, a back-to-back.
Here she goes.
Okay, so we have talked about this book, this duology, several times on the show. Jamie and I think this is probably a co-sign for Jamie.
100%.
But this is The Exquisite Torment of Loving Your Enemy by Brigitte Knightley. It comes out July 7th. This is part two of the Dearly Beloved duology. And Infinity Stars. How many stars can I give it? Give it all the stars.
So it is
so freaking good. Osric is an assassin. I say Arianne, but I don't think that's how you really say her name. How do you say it,
Jamie? You do you, Aaron. You do you. You know what I mean?
Arianne.
She's a healer. They do not get along. They're like fundamentally opposed to each other. Guess what? They have to work together. And they
They don't bone, though. They don't bone, do they? No, they don't. No way. I bet he got a big old thing, too, doesn't he?
He does. He knows how to use it. That's what's important. Banter is elite. World building is perfection.
Yeah.
Some of the prettiest, right? Like, she is such a good writer. The way that she will make you laugh, cry, and then like gasp at how pretty her writing is. Yeah. It's so, so good. It's absolutely devastating. The Yearning is off the charts. This is a perfect duology.
All done.
Nice. I think I have three special editions of this at this point.
I've got a pre-ordered special edition to match the first special edition that I had. Yeah.
It is a stunner. You cannot go wrong with this series. You cannot go wrong with anything she's written. She's wonderful. Yeah, so
very talented.
That is The Exquisite Torment of Loving Your Enemy by Brigitte Knightley.
Do we count this as animated people on the cover?
I would say it's animated, adjacent. Artist rendering. Not quite Sarah Adams level where our faces don't have noses, but it is, you're 100% correct.
And do we like animated characters on the cover?
I think it depends. I like this one. I love this one.
I like this one because I love this book, but like, would I mind if this was not the cover? I also would not mind if there were not.
Yeah.
I love artists getting to art. I do. Uh-huh. And these artists are talented and they do a good rendering of these characters. But yeah, I prefer no people. I actually prefer no people on my covers, like always.
I think I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron's broken.
And Aaron's like,
I'm just thinking about it. I think I like it when it's what I think I'm thinking about.
So I like what a hot take.
Yeah.
but I mean, do you know what I mean? Like if it's not someone that I've pictured, then now it's ruined and I don't want that.
But it's tough to be so specific because this is a very specific
cover.
That's
what I'm saying.
Like, super specific.
So, like, this one works for me. But if I had different tastes.
You stare at it sometimes?
Sometimes I do. I don't know. Sometimes I do.
See, I don't pay enough. I characterize in my head so quickly that I just don't take to the description the author gives me. So, later on when they're like, he's old. And I'm just like, well, he's old?
He's old.
What? I didn't know that. So, I have no expectations. Okay, yeah.
That's good.
Okay, that's your first one, Aaron, for your second.
Yeah. Okay, what am I going to pick? Okay, I think I'm going to pick, this is called The True Confessions of First Lady Freeman by Deesha Filyaw. So this comes out September 29th. Charisse Freeman, she is married to a Black megachurch pastor. That makes her the first lady at this very popular church. He's like 15 years older than she is. She doesn't get along with like the other first lady, like, you know, all of the like Black megachurch royalty. She's kind of an outsider for them. She gets invited to, you're not ready, the elite First Lady USA pageant, which is a beauty pageant for church first ladies.
Oh, I'm into it.
Who are described as like Jesus's disciples if they were mean girls. There's pageant scandal. There's Black megachurch royalty. Samantha Irby is blurbed on this, and I know we don't love blurbs, but
I do love Samantha
Irby. She said, I love mess. Nothing in the world is better than scandalous church mess. I wanted to live inside this book, volunteer for the usher board for this book, tithe my 10% to this book. What a good book. This is Deesha Filyaw. She wrote a short story collection called The Secret Life of Church Ladies. I haven't read that, but it's looks great. This looks like a immersive behind the scenes kind of peek behind like in a world that I don't fully like know about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very interested in this one.
Oh, it sounds good.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
I have a soft spot in reality TV mega church festivities. So
yeah,
this sounds amazing.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. So
4.44 stars on Goodreads currently.
Okay. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll take it.
All right, Jamie, back to you.
Okay. So my next pick is, and this is, I requested this immediately because I saw that it had a already starred Publishers Weekly review and then the description. Aaron, this is going to be right up your alley. This is The Salt. I actually think both of you would really like this. This is The Salt King by Natasha Pulley.
I saw this.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. So this is a fantasy horror LGBTQ, which I love all those things. And so it is, the description is, it's a novel about belief, religion, and the power of myth that blends the gripping end of the world storytelling of The Passage. I freaking love The Passage, with biting wit and queer romance. So I like all of those things. So it's a Jesuit priest, born into a mining family in England. And then his whole family is killed in a mining disaster. That's why we don't mine. Love mining hard. Mm. And then, But a fellow priest is healed to be then turned to salt after a visit to this town. And Aelin, this Jesuit priest, is sent to investigate. I like when we ask the priest.
I love when the Jesuits are investigating something.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so he arrives, the town's doctor, Jericho, which I don't know what happens to the priest in Jericho, but I can tell that they might fall in love. But tells him that everybody is kind of having weird stuff happen to them in this town, and it's called Salt Light. And so they team up to protect the town from the Salt Light, and it starts to devastate cities across the globe. So I like all of this. I like fantasy of a weird thing happening. This cover, it really did. For the one time, like one time in my life, I went, oh, I'm Aaron on this cover. Like, this cover is so stunning, and I'm very excited. And just to read, like, more, I don't read as much queer romance as I want to read, and this feels like a great way to kind of bring it back into the fold for the summer. And this comes out in August 18th.
Okay. 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 Back to me for back to back. I'm going to go first. Yeah. I'm going to go first pick. This is where I'm trying to branch out. So okay. I wouldn't naturally gravitate to a mystery thriller, but I saw this, read the kind of blurb, saw what was comp to. And I was like, I really do want to actually read that. And it's called The Secret Dinner by Rafael Montes.
I saw this. Ooh.
It's publishing on August 4th. And it's actually a Brazilian bestseller. That is now making its like US publishing debut or whatever. But the premise is four broke friends in Rio start catering secret dinner parties for the city's like powerful elite, cause they're trying to like keep their apartment and like not lose, their home. And they get sucked into a literal, cannibalism underworld.
Oh.
I don't want to say hijinks ensue, but something does. Mm. It's sold 300,000 copies. Outside of the US.
Crazy. Wow.
So it's already good. And I saw it described as like hustle culture meets cannibalism, or if you prefer, it's like Parasite meets Sweeney Todd meets Fight Club, as a story.
Yes. Okay.
So I was like, I'm here for all of that. That sounds really, really, really great.
No, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I like any kind of, dinner adjacent anything, mm-hmm. I'm good with. Like I'll read your story. I'll watch your movie. I don't care. I understand it's probably gonna be cannibalism. It does feel limited. Like we're going probably cannibalism mm-hmm. towards this.
Right, right.
But I'm okay with that.
No, so, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
That's the first one. The second one, man, I think I'm gonna go. Okay, I'm gonna go The Great Wherever by Shannon Sanders.
Dang it, you took
my good.
I drew blood.
Love there it is.
All right, wonderful. So this is, there's a specific reason that I was into this, and it's set in Tennessee. So I was just like, it's on site with all that. But this comes out July 7th. And the idea is the main character is a broke 32-year-old. They get a stake in a Tennessee farm that one of its bumper crops is family secrets. So there's like ancestor ghosts who are involved, and they're a little spicy. They've got their own issues. But it's, I saw it described as a black multi-generational saga from Reconstruction to the modern day. So it's like a family epic, but it's also a little bit of a ghost story. It's on a bunch of different lists. I think it's NPR, Esquire, People, and I think Tiare Jones really got out there with it.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah.
This is a good book. So
like,
it's set in Tennessee. I'm into it.
Anytime like it's a family ghost thing. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good. I like that. That's
is
really
that right? Yeah. Because I did, I was at a dinner recently with Aaron where we talked about that Teslas can see ghosts.
Did you know this, Knox?
I don't think I did.
Like,
no,
if you
I
take
didn't.
A Tesla to a cemetery, they'll come across the cameras. Like, you'll see.
Like, you'll see people walking where people don't walk.
And then Aaron was like, no. And I was like, I would do that because I would be like, let's have a ghost go through me. Let's find out what that feels like.
No.
And Aaron, again, does not believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to do that. I'm like, why would you not want to do that? That'd be so cool.
No, I said I'd do it. I just don't believe it.
And I was
I
like,
also
what
do
if
not believe in ghosts.
But what if a ghost went through you and you felt it? You'd still not believe it?
I think I would think it was psychosomatic.
Yeah.
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 You're missing out. Ghosts are amazing.
Well, what's the point? Like, I just hope when I die, I'm not like, you're stuck at a graveyard and you're going to hope to go just, through a lady.
All you, all the rest no, of listen. Your whole life, you're just going to mess with the faucet?
No, you get to go places. You can, Knox, you can go watch every, you can go to every stadium.
No, that's the, that's why Pass. Ghosts don't work is because they don't do those things. They just hang around
and
open up a cabinet.
You won't even F with ghosts. So how do you know what they do?
Well, that's what they do historically.
Fair. But I don't believe in them.
But I don't believe in them.
I do like that Elon Musk technology. You trust it. You're like, Elon Musk, he knows what's up. Yeah. He's telling the truth with his cars.
I had a friend who did the Tesla thing, and they're in a cemetery and there's people walking around on the screen and it's creepy. But pass. I don't believe in that. So
yeah. Okay, that is mine. Back to Jamie.
Okay, I'm going to do what the heart wants. No one will be stealing this from me because you would not have even thought to stop at this book, but that is Grim Tidings by B.K. Borson.
I did see this and I was like, this is for Jamie.
This is for me. This comes out September 15th. So B.K. Borson is really kind of the only, along with Allie Hazelwood, they are the dependable contemporary romance writers. I find contemporary romance writers, for the most part, for me, to be lame. And I always am bored by those romances of like, oh, we were neighbors and then we, who cares? I don't care about any of that. But B.K. Borson, and I'll be honest, I did not like her first series. I DNF'd. But this latest series that she's done, which is retellings of classic Hollywood rom-coms, has been great. And now she's doing this holiday themed series at the same time. So this woman's putting out two books a year. Which is the Allie Hazelwood model. I cannot understand how they're
able to. Does it count if you're like adapting pre-existing like concepts?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's easier if you're like, oh no, I do know the rules of this. So I'm not having to create this from fully scratch. But like the Sleepless in Seattle of it all, it's so fascinating. Like, because you've got to figure out how do we make radio. She doesn't really pull that off completely because I still the whole time was like, nobody listens to the radio.
Nobody's listening to the radio.
Yeah. He's listening to the radio. But this is Grim Tidings. She did Good Spirits, which was that was the Ghost of Christmas Past, Who Bones. Very good. Highly recommend. This one, which I love, is about the Grim Reaper. And it's supposed to be more for Halloween. But the Grim Reaper is the female main character. That's also what I love.
Oh, that's fun.
So a little twist. I think the classic would have believed that the guy is the Grim Reaper. So Darcy, she is tired of death. But unfortunately, she is the Grim Reaper. And she's trying to, like, really trying to convince people she's not a villain. And so guardian angel, Gabrielle, literally on the nose, like doesn't even play, is very upset with Darcy because the Grim Reaper keeps coming on his corner, right? And shows up at his bar where he's meant to take care of people. And he must decide, like, am I supposed to keep this longstanding grudge or should I bone her?
Mm-hmm.
And
should I bone?
They will bone.
Feels obvious.
Angel and a Grim Reaper.
And a guardian angel and a Grim Reaper. Like, what your conflict is, I got to take this person. They're like, they're my person. And it's like, but we're in love. How can we solve this mystery? And I trust B.K. Borson to solve it for me.
So is she like cornering the market on supernatural entities that are meant to advise us, but instead they end up like,
that's 100%. That's 100% what she's doing.
How does it work with the Ghost of Christmas, present, past, or maybe all of them? Are they like, you needed to learn a lesson, and now that we've gotten that out of the way?
Yeah, the Ghost of Christmas Past was a human, like that was visited by the Ghost of Christmas Past.
So, but this
and
is
has sex
not
with the Ghost of Christmas
human.
Past
and had the sex with the Ghost of the Christmas Past. Yeah,
but like
these are two hysterical entities.
He can take a human form,
and that's how he
that
bones.
Feels like cheating.
And that's
that feels like
cheating. You bone as humans. Yes.
If you can't make it happen as a ghost, you don't deserve to like manipulate as a human.
Yeah, that's another ghost inconsistency. If you are a ghost, but you can be a human, why don't you just be a human?
Just be a human, dummy.
Guys, there's no ghost canon. There's no ghost canon.
Yeah, I think there is at this point.
No, there's not. Casper? Are you like Casper rules only?
I mean, I think that there are some fundamental rules.
Because there's not even vampire canon. Not really.
Like, I mean, but like there is
some.
Is.
Sunlight,
some,
bad.
But like, I felt like Twilight was like, no, bedazzled. They're now bedazzled in the sun.
Ghost is so
canon
unregulated.
No, the canon is no. Wait, yeah. No, the canon is no. You can't go in the sun at all. You die.
Yeah.
Right.
But not Edward. Edward just sparkled.
Right. But my point is, if you can be a ghost, if you're a human and you can be a ghost,
a ghost that can be a human.
Why don't you just be a human?
No, you can't. Yeah. It's only for the form for the boning.
So he just can be a human?
No,
so
that's
he has
not true.
A penis?
But he's not really a human. He's just a full-formed ghost. He's like a bodily ghost. He's still a ghost.
He's just a ghost with an erection? Like, that's what it is?
Yeah. Don't judge it until you try
can
it.
Can a ghost erection get you pregnant?
No.
With a ghost baby?
No.
Is that how Casper
got that's what I'm asking.
No.
Yeah.
But maybe, as a ghost, maybe you're trying to do some penance so you can get back to Earth. Who knows?
By boning?
Maybe, but
you're
like,
doing penance by having extramarital sex so you can get to heaven.
Orgasms are good things. Maybe that's
all over
how
the place,
your
Jamie.
Good
work. I know. This is all over the place.
That's the beauty of these books is I don't come in here with all this drama and this baggage. I just come in here for the good time. So again, that's Grim Tidings by B.K. Morrison.
Have you, listening to you describe this reminded me of...
a fever dream I had once.
No, Ashley just finished Crown Me Dead. I don't know if it's a duology. I'm looking, but it features like not the Grim Reaper, but Death is a character. And she
Ooh, this
loved
has
it.
Got a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, it's Crown Me Dead, and I think she just finished Crown Me Yours. I don't know if it's a duology. I don't know if it's a series, but she loved
it. It's a dark fantasy romance. Aaron, the first line of the blurb is, wed me, bed me, slit my throat.
Oh! Hey-o! Hey-o!
She liked it a lot, so just FYI. That's not a draft pick, but just that's a free recommendation.
Oh, because it's Crown Me Dead, followed by the duology Crown Me Yours. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, I love. Oh, it's a duet. You guys, I freaking love a duet.
What's the difference between a duology and a duet?
Well, a duology is a closed series, two books, closed series, it's over. Like, there's no more in that world.
Right.
A duet is it's going to be a series of many books, but the two books are just about these characters.
Oh.
And the next, Carissa Broadbent writes that way. And I love it because I really do love the duology model. I do not want to read eight books in a romantic series. Like, yeah. I just, because yeah. I know you can't hold serve. I know you can't. I'm talking to you, Sarah. And so this sounds great. And
yeah.
They're both out. Okay, I'm going to read these during the date.
Yeah.
As God intended.
Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll see her awake and I'll be like, are you okay? And she's like, I just keep thinking about the ending. I just liked it so much.
Oh my God. Ashley has great taste in romanticism.
She does.
She has great taste in romanticism.
She's very good taste. Okay, Aaron, your last two.
Okay. I think I'm going to go. Okay. This one I'm not like sure about, but I'm interested. It's called Dangerland by Aaron Singer. Ooh. This comes out July 7th. It is a dark romantic comedy. It's described as Nora Ephron meets The Hangover.
Okay.
It's set in Las Vegas. And it follows Kurt and Eugenie. Kurt's been in love with Eugenie since they were children, but they could never get the timing to work out. Now he's in his 50s. He's been divorced twice. He's got four adult kids. He's got legal troubles. And he figures now is like the perfect time to try and convince Eugenie to make it work with him. And this is giving me like Road to Tender Hearts kind of vibes.
Mm.
Cover for sure, but like also just like kind of an older... male protagonist who's down on his luck, hopelessly in love with an idea. And it's got like their adult children come back and they have drama between each other. So I'm very interested in the Nora Ephron-ness of it all.
It feels like based on these current Goodreads reviews, that Nora Ephron reference may be working real hard.
I know. So I'm going to give it a shot.
Don't let the number sway you.
Yeah,
don't let the number sway you.
No. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah.
I love reading a 3.36 star book and be like, I liked it.
I actually liked it. I do like
this review that says 2 stars because it does take a lot to write a novel.
I did see that one and I was like, that's tough. That's a tough
one. That's nice
one.
Though. That's
actually generous because it does take a lot to write a novel.
Yeah,
it does.
It's fair, but also very sad to get that review on your book.
Yeah.
There's a character named Bodybuilder Chad. So I'm in.
Oh, I'm into that. Yeah. So, I do like that.
And then I think my second one, I think I'm going to go The Oxford Guide to Scandal and Lies by Kate Westbury. This is a post-World War II, no planes on the cover. Thank you so much. It is about two Oxford students, a debutante and a World War II veteran who are conscripted to find a Russian spy at Oxford while they're there. It's like a romance, murder mystery. The thing I kept seeing about this is that banter is elite.
We love banter.
Elite. So I'm interested in this one. It looks really cute.
It does have silhouettes on the cover.
It does.
I do like a little homage to the classic. Yeah,
no planes, though.
No planes.
It's a good cover, though. It's a very good cover.
It is cute. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
So I'm excited about that
one. Oh, that looks cute.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, Jamie, your last one.
Okay, my last one. This is hard because I have so many, and we'll talk about it. We'll just mention some titles and the also-rans. But I am going to choose Time to Burn, a compelling time travel mystery novel by Ellery Lloyd. Here's the thing about this. So this was again on, first of all, this cover. I cannot get over like a weird cover. I just love a weird cover. But this is a sci-fi time travel thriller. Time travel is a Achilles heel for me. I love time travel. I love that the rules never make sense. I don't have to understand it. Who cares? Nothing matters. I love it. And this is about a tech entrepreneur, Inigo. I do love Inigo. And has perfected commercial time travel. Like people can like commercially time travel. But it's really regulated and only Oprah gets to do it because it's like super expensive. Okay. Yeah. But he has a tour company called Tempest Tours and he's doing a journey back to the Blitz in 1941 and planning it. Can you imagine planning a group trip?
No.
To like, hey, can we go back to the Blitz? That'd be super fun. Don't know that that would be the first place. But it wants the rich to be able to, because this does feel like what rich people do. Like, can you imagine Travis Kelce being like, I just want to hear what a war's like. I just want to be in a bombing. Like, that'd be cool.
Taylor, please.
Taylor, let's do it. And so he hires a filmmaker, Phoebe, to create a documentary about this trip. And so, unfortunately, hijinks, of course, as always, ensue and finds that there's like, the description says, on her first day shadowing Inigo, she is set to witness the return of a billionaire property developer and his family from their trip to the past. But instead, she captures the group arriving bloodied and traumatized with one of the travelers missing.
Oh, no.
And it's like she must untangle the truth of what really happened. I love the concept of this. It was already starred on Publishers Weekly. It's 4.46. It's very few people have read it so far, though. But I did. It comes out August 4th. I immediately requested it because I was like, I love when rich people unexpected, like they're like, oh, my God, why did she die? This was supposed to be fun. This was our trip. I love
oh,
all
no.
of that.
This oh, no. This is going to make us late.
This is going to ruin the world tour, you guys. I just love it. So I'm very excited. Time to Burn by Ellery Lloyd.
That sounds great.
Do you have an issue with Inigo? A great first name. His last name's Frank. I feel like they really kind of fumbled there.
That feels like he chose that, like as his influencer name, his corporate time travel influencer name.
Is like there a chance it's Frank?
That doesn't feel like a real name, right?
No, that Elon rolls off Musk? The tongue. That's a good name. That's Inigo Frank, unless he goes like Inigo Frank, then I'm like, okay,
oh, maybe
I'm back.
It is Inigo Frank.
I'm back.
No,
I'm
you're
back
right. With all that. That's fair.
That's a good, that sounds really good. I want to put that on my list. Okay, my last one, I am going, this is where I'm going to get into, where is it? Fantasy Romance.
Oh,
with this selection.
Okay.
This is Habits of the Sea by Shay Earnshaw. This is published July 7th. The plot is a chunk of the Scottish coast tears loose in a storm and drifts off as a floating island. Decades later, a woman returns to it and finds the same man living there, not having aged a day. It's a little bit of time travel-ish, but atmospheric a little bit. And I read someone talking about it, and they said this is a story about a life, like what's better, a life shaped by wonder or a life that makes sense. And I like that kind of, I like an absurd premise where it's like part of Scotland just floated away and this guy never aged after that. So there's a little bit of romance element to the context of why the island floats away. But I love the cover, so I'm going to give it a shot.
The cover is cool. This does feel like your vibe of being like, I live on an island and it disappears and people can't always find me.
It floated away. I didn't even ask it to.
Very much like to make that kind of magic happen.
I didn't even ask it to, and it did, and I don't age.
It just did exactly what I wanted it to.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Amazing. So good.
Okay, so that's the draft. We'll do also rans in a second. Before we do, let me recap what we did. I just picked Habits of the Sea. I picked The Great Wherever, The Secret Dinner, and Etna by Paul Yoon. Jamie, you picked Exit Party. You picked The Salt King. Is that right?
Yes.
The Salt King. Okay. Yep. Grim Tidings and Time to Burn: A Compelling Time Travel Mystery. And Aaron has picked The Oxford Guide to Scandal and Lies, Dangerland, The True Confessions of First Lady Freedom, and The Exquisite Torment of Loving Your Enemy.
Yes.
It's a good list. It's a good list, guys. Aaron, also Rands that you got, or nonfiction, if you want to toss those in there.
I have a couple. Knox, I think you might like this one. It's called Murder Bites by Mimi Montgomery. It follows a woman named Margot. She moves to a dog-obsessed town in South Carolina, and the local dog walker gets murdered. And all the clues point to her. So she has to team up with her HOA president and like a mom to figure out how to clear her name. It looks really fun. Looks really
quirky. That looks really good. The cover is asking a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's asking me to do a lot.
It is asking you to do a lot.
But I'm writing it down.
And then my other one, I have two more and then a nonfiction, The Pirate Queen by Ariel.
Oh my God, that's on my list.
This comes out September 10th. It's about Grace O'Malley, the Irish piratess. It looks like a blast.
Listen, her Frozen River. I loved Frozen River. She knows how to write a mystery.
Yeah. Like, so really well. I'm super excited about this one. And then I was looking at Star-Crossed Summer by Devin Daniels, which comes out July 7th with everything else. It's like a 4.5 on Goodreads. And it's just like a Hollywood starlet. Mm. She gets reunited with her co-star who broke her heart. Her chemistry is like, is this real? Is it not? Looks fun.
What is it about July 7th?
I don't know. Like that, everything.
Hardcore competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, the cover of this has a pier. Care to comment?
Yeah, that would be a pass for me. Thank you so much. Why are we at a pier if we are acting in Hollywood? I'm sorry. Is this Outer Banks? No, thank you.
It does appear to be an infinite pier. Like it feels like it is in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
That's not for me.
And then my nonfiction, I will read anything that Christian Wiman writes. I don't care if it's his laundry list. I don't care. Zero to the Bone is wonderful. I loved it. He has a book of poetry coming out called The Dance. I'm not like a big poetry person, but again, I would read if he took a dump and then wrote in his own feces. And
Should put that on the book.
Yeah, they should. I think that would be really
What is it? Is the book called Zero to the Bone?
The book. So the first thing I've read of his is Zero to the Bone. That's already come out. This is a book of poetry called The Dance.
Dance.
But he just like, I don't know, just like the way he puts words together is insane. Knox, I think you would really like Zero to the Bone. It's just
Goodreads
really
is like not. We don't know that. We don't
effing
know her.
Good writing. I mean, it is. That's weird.
What's his? Oh, Christian Wiman. Okay. Man. There it is on Amazon. I like that cover a lot.
Yeah, it's great.
No, so there it is on Goodreads. There it is. My bad.
No, listen, Goodreads search, despite literally being owned by Amazon, is terrible.
Gosh,
it's terrible.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So what feces, about written in feces, Christian Wiman.
Okay. Written in feces.
That's a great memoir as well. Jamie, what about you?
Okay. So some nonfiction. Listen, these are all repeats. So same concept. Our beloved Kristen Dumais has a Live, Laugh, Love.
That's right.
Yeah, coming out. And look, y'all, she did Jesus and John Wayne, which
kind of broke some people.
Broke some people in half, like truly, me included. And so it traces how New Thought, a movement about like how evangelicalism, like think it, be it, right? But positivity, like toxic positivity and how that led to like the ways that Christian women teach the Bible, become influencers, like all the things, mommy blogs, romance novels, Hobby Lobby, all the things. So it's called Live, Laugh, Love. I'm very excited about that. Jill Lepore, our favorite historian, is doing The Rise and Fall of the Artificial State. Let's talk about AI. Like, it's very exciting. And it's built off an essay she wrote in The New Yorker, which I really loved. And then Robert Kolker. Robert Kolker wrote the book Hidden Valley Road, which was about this family that...
Oh, yeah. All the psychopaths?
They all have the same mental health disorder. So now... I was like, what's Robert Kolker's there? Does he just find families that are disintegrating from their own genetics? And he does. So he's found a new family in Pennsylvania where the entire family has a genetic mutation that means they will have early onset dementia.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this is nonfiction?
This is nonfiction. Damn. And so it is as early as their 40s. I know.
And so Jimmy just wrecking those feel good books this episode, huh?
Vibe. I do feel like every person who enters their 40s and 50s starts to assume they already have early onset dementia, and it's basically we just can't remember one word. Like what? Like what's that word called? But it's just we're old. Like it's fine. Like it doesn't mean it. But like I am fascinated like how to prevent dementia. I think a lot about, I'm always like in that my chart. Hey, you got any new news about how to prevent dementia? And like right now, you know what the biggest sign of preventing dementia is? Like reduces it by 30%.
What?
Is it grip?
Dancing.
Oh, I thought it was grip.
Yeah. Dancing. Well, no, grip too. Like your grip strength is really important.
Yeah.
Why is your grip strength important?
Because you got to grasp those memories and keep them, Aaron. I don't know. I don't know why that is.
I don't know why it is either. That. But dancing is because it's like using your body. It's just a correlation, not causation. Mm-hmm. It's that you're using your body and your brain to keep up with steps. Like, you can't just dance to dance. You're supposed to, like,
you have to do actual dancing.
Like, actual dancing. Okay. You can't just be, like, shaking your ass.
Like, freestyling in your kitchen.
Can you imagine if you're, like, that lady who's like, I drink a Dr. Pepper every day and I shake my ass at lunch. Like, that's how I'm staying old and I'm staying young. But I did want to say some authors that have books that coming out that I do love. Chuck Tingle. He's a ride or die, the weirdest person of all time, who writes the best traditionally published books, because be careful when you Google Chuck Tingle. Fabulous Bodies. He wrote Barrier Gaze, which I loved. This is described as a supernatural joyride where Drive meets Beetlejuice. And it's just a fashion influencer by day who's a grave robber by night.
Love it.
Okay. And it's a queer like adventure, which I love. And then also Riley Sager. Listen, here's the thing. I'm waiting for Riley Sager to bring it back. Like, it's how I feel about Jane Harper. Everybody, Jane Harper wrote this really amazing mystery. And then I read every Jane Harper and I'm like, well, that was also disappointing. And I'm always waiting for that high. That's how I feel about Riley Sager. But Riley Sager, I feel like, has had more successes than misses, you know, more hits than misses. But this is set in 1926. Five women disappear from an island in Vermont. And then 100 years later, it's happening again. And so we have to solve it. And so I am interested.
Man, you know what kind of stories I like? I like any story where a character is like, it's happening again. Done. I love that
You're
shit.
You're in. Man. You're in.
Love it.
You're in.
Yeah.
Okay, Knox, what's on your list?
Let's see. Also Rans, I had, I almost picked this. I ended up not. Man Overboard! ! By Kathleen Rooney.
I saw that.
It's a former college swimmer who's terrified of the ocean, goes overboard off a cruise ship. Did she jump? Was she pushed? Did she fall? Nobody knows. It was compared to The Wedding People. So I was like, okay, I love that. Ungodly Rich by Catherine McGee.
This looks so fun.
It looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is the Greek gods are reimagined as a dysfunctional billionaire family. It's like Succession, but the Greek gods. Hijinks ensue. I saw it described as the White Lotus, but on Olympus.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
that's great. Okay. Love that. Let's see. I thought about picking this, but I haven't seen like a great buzz on it. It's Sunrise by Tia Obrecht. And it's like three lives across 100 years. That revolves around a like old West ghost town called Sunrise. So you're in 2024. It's about a plane crash survivor, a 2003 reenactment, person, and a 1902 gunslinger pulp hero.
Ooh.
The stories are all kind of related. That sounds weird enough that I'm like, I kind of like that. And I see it on a bunch of lists. So, I want to keep up with those. Nonfiction, Emily Hackney, All That's Unseen. It's about an eighth generation Appalachian. So they talk about Pentecostal churches, coal mining, hollers, early marriage, you know, the Appalachian karaoke, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Biological War by Annie Jacobson. And she wrote Nuclear War.
Yeah.
She's like, what happens if nuclear war? Here's what it would look like. And same thing. If we had biological war, here's what it would look like. So real uplifting. What Should My Child Do? By Daniel Susskind. It's if you have a kid in the age of AI, here's what they should do, which I need and want. So I'm looking forward to that. Catch the Devil by Pamela Colliff. This is true crime in the Gulf Coast. So it's about a con man doing crime, murder, stuff like that. So I was like, that sounds incredible. I will watch that, or I will read that. And then last two, They Stole a City, : Wilmington's white supremacist coup and the families who live with its legacy. So this is by Lauren Collins, and she talks about the 1898 white supremacist massacre in Wilmington and how it subverted American democracy. So I was like, didn't know about any of this.
Didn't know.
This will be great to learn. And then one, I was curious if y'all saw this and what you thought. The Kennedys and the Windsors, the story of two dynasties, one born, one made. So I was interested. I don't know that I'll read it, but
that's one of the more interesting episodes of The Crown. I know that's a weird thing, but like when the Kennedys come to London,
interesting.
It's a really good, like, guys, you don't even have to watch The Crown. Just find that episode and watch that episode. It is fascinating. And you're like, huh, like how weird that this ended up shaping the royal family in very specific ways.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So I might check that out. But that is it. That's going to do it for this episode of Shelf Respect.
All right, you guys, don't forget, you can do a free trial as a hardback for 7 days, or if you want to get 30 days for only 70 cents, and then just like camp out with us, like listen to all the goodness. You get every shelf reflection. You get every notebook book club. All the things we talk about when we're really spicy, like super spicy, you can get all of that by going to patreon.com/shelfrespect. Don't forget, everything we talked about is in the show notes, and we'd love to see you talk about it too. You can go to our Instagram at Read With Shelf Respect, or again, hardbacks can chatter on Patreon. The links are in the show notes.
Ask your pointed questions, declare your intentions, or start a respectful fight in the comments with one of your enemies just to eventually become lovers.
I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Erin Moon. You can find me on the interwebs at Erin H. Moon.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
The end.